Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message tonight is indeed Christmas Through the Eyes of Joseph. Let me read to you one more time the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 1. Now, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. But because Joseph was a just man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to put her away quietly. But an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give them the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary home to be his wife. But he had no sexual union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Tonight, we'll look at Christmas through the eyes of Joseph, the man chosen by God to be Jesus' earthly father, his stepfather, so to speak. And Matthew, the gospel writer, describes the earthly father of Jesus, Joseph, as a craftsman, as a carpenter. Matthew 13:55, we hear people say this about Jesus: "Isn't this the carpenter's son? And isn't his mother named Mary?" Joseph was a small-town carpenter. He likely made farming tools and home furnishings. He lived in a small town called Nazareth, so small you probably would have a hard time finding it upon a map. Joseph likely barely made ends meet because he had so few customers in this small town. Didn't God Almighty have better options? How about an eloquent priest from Jerusalem or a renowned scholar from the Pharisees? Why a man like Joseph? It could well be that part of the answer lies in Joseph's reputation. He gives it up for Jesus. Matthew 1:19 tells us, "Then Joseph, being a just man, did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace, so he had in mind to put her away quietly." With the phrase, "a just man," Matthew, the gospel writer, recognizes the status, the reputation of Joseph. In a small town of Nazareth, Joseph's reputation was of being a just man. Today, we would say he was an upstanding church member, a moral man, a man who lived by his godly convictions. Joseph likely enjoyed this reputation, but Mary's pregnancy announcement jeopardized it all for him. Now what? His fiancée is blemished. She's tainted. He is righteous. He is godly. On the one hand, he has the law, and the law is clear. Stone her. On the other hand, he has his love, and his love says, forgive her. Joseph is caught in the middle. He figures he can just put her away quietly, which means he can save her by stoning, by quietly ending their engagement and moving her out of small town Nazareth, where everybody will be talking. But then comes the angel sent by God, and he says, "Mary's growing belly is no cause for panic, but it's a reason to rejoice." And in the dream, the angel explains to Joseph that the baby Mary bears is the very Son of God, and that God will take care of them all. We can imagine Joseph saying, "I believe you, O Lord, but please help my unbelief. And for goodness sakes, what will others think?" We can imagine a bead of sweat forming underneath Joseph's beard. He faces a real dilemma: make up a lie and preserve his place in the community, or tell the truth and kiss his reputation goodbye. Well, he makes his decision. Matthew 1:25 tells us Joseph took Mary home to be his wife. And he had no sexual union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph traded his reputation for his pregnant fiancée and the baby that was not his biological child. Joseph placed God's plan above his own. What a man, this Joseph. No wonder God chose him for this sacred task. We see here that Joseph is a man of integrity. Joseph is a man of faith, but we don't know much more about him. And doggone it, I've got a number of questions for Joseph that I'd like to ask him. Like, Joseph, what was it like changing the diaper for the Son of God? What did you think about those nights, Joseph, when Jesus had colic and you had to walk him back and forth in your carpentry shop and rock him to sleep in one of your handmade rocking chairs? Joseph, did you and Jesus ever arm wrestle? And if you did he ever let you win? Joseph, did you ever look up from your prayers and see Jesus listening? Did you know that those little hands of Jesus that played and worked on the wood in your carpentry shop would one day be nailed to some other wood, the wood of a cross, to pay for the sins of the world? And Joseph, whatever happened to those wise men that brought those expensive gifts to the baby Jesus? And Joseph, whatever happened to you? We don't know what finally happened to Joseph. The Bible doesn't tell us. But his role in Jesus' earthly years, his early years, are so crucial that we expect to hear more about him. But with the exception of three very brief accounts, the Bible is silent. In Luke chapter 2, we learn in obedience to Jewish law, when Jesus was 8 days old, Joseph took Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem for circumcision and for the naming ceremony. Luke 2:22 tells us, on the eighth day, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 2, we learn that to protect baby Jesus from the crazy King Herod who was out to kill him, Joseph took baby Jesus and Mary for a short time away to Egypt. Matthew 2:14 tells us, so Joseph arose, took the child and his mother, and escaped to Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And finally, in Luke chapter 2, the last mention of Joseph in the Bible, we find out that when Jesus was 12 years old, he got lost from his parents at the festival in Jerusalem. And they finally found the 12-year-old little boy teaching the teachers in the temple. And Luke 2:48 tells us, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said, son, your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. And after that, there was no more mention of Joseph in the Bible. And we're left with our question. But of all my questions, my first would be about Bethlehem. I'd like to know about that night at the stable. I can picture Joseph there, can't you? In obedience to the command of Caesar Augustus in Rome, Joseph had placed his 9-month pregnant fiancée Mary on a donkey, and they traveled for 5 days from the north of Nazareth to the south in Bethlehem to be counted among the Roman census. Any of you ladies remember being 9 months pregnant? Can you imagine Mary saying to Joseph, is this trip really necessary? But he went. And now they were in a stable, an enclosure for animals, since nobody would give them a room. I can picture Joseph pacing back and forth outside that stable like a new father when his first son was to be born. I remember those days in my life. What was Joseph thinking about when Jesus was being born? He'd done all he could to make Mary comfortable in this place, but in Jewish custom, she asked to be alone and shooed Joseph outside. For some reason, I can't picture Joseph being silent. I see him animated, pacing back and forth, talking to God. And now, with you please, eavesdrop with me at Christmas through the eyes of Joseph. This isn't the way I planned it, God, not at all. My child born in an animal stable, this isn't the way I thought it would be, a place with sheep and donkeys and straw and that manure. This isn't what I imagined. Nobody here except the two of us. I imagined grandmothers helping Mary. I imagined neighbors standing by my side helping me stand up. I imagined our house in Nazareth filled with the cry of a newborn baby. I imagined slaps on my back from all my uncles. The midwife would hand me my son, and everybody in Nazareth would come to the party to celebrate. But Father in heaven, look, here we are at Bethlehem, 5 days' journey from home. And here is my sweet young wife giving birth in a smelly stable. This just doesn't seem right. Dear God, what kind of father am I? Did I miss something? Did I, God? When you sent the angel, told me about the birth of your son, of our son, this isn't what I pictured. I envisioned Jerusalem, the temple, priests, a parade, at least a banquet. I mean, this is the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior of the world. This isn't the way I wanted it to be. This is not how I wanted it for my son. Oh my, I did it again. I did it again, didn't I, Father in heaven? I didn't mean to do it. It's just that I forget. He's really not my son. He's your son. You chose me to be his caregiver, his earthly father, his stepfather, but you are his father. The child is yours. The plan of yours is yours. The gift of salvation he brings is your gift. Oh, dear Father in heaven, any minute now, Mary will give birth to our son. Not just to any child, but to the Savior. Not just to an infant, but to God in human flesh. This is what the angel told me. This is what my dear Mary believes. This is what I want to believe, O Father in heaven, and I do. But please help my unbelief. Father, this is not easy for me. Dear God, you know that I'm a carpenter, a master carpenter. I like things organized and in my control. I build things with my woodworking. I always make things fit. I square off the rough edges. I always follow the measuring line. And I always measure twice before I cut once. Surprises are not a friend of a carpenter. I like to know the plan. I like to see the plan before I begin. But Father, this time, I am not the builder, am I? This time, I'm a tool, a hammer in your grip, a nail in your fingers, a chisel in your hand. This project, dear Father, is yours, not mine. Heavenly Father, please forgive my struggling. Faith doesn't always come easy to me. Again, I believe, but help my unbelief. With your help, I will be a father to Jesus. I don't have all the answers, Father in heaven, but on this day of Jesus' birth, I trust you, and that's enough. I will teach Jesus to be a carpenter. I will teach Jesus to be a man. And when he leaves my home to do the mission for which you've sent him, I will give him my blessing. I cannot even fully imagine what he will go through to be the world's Savior. But I trust that you will strengthen him to finish the job. Oh, Father, did you just hear what I heard? Oh, sorry, of course you did. It was the cry of a newborn son, your son, our son. Hooray! He's here. Help me to grow in the trust that this precious son is also my Savior. As I look into that manger, that feed trough, where I will soon place him, help me to see in his face the love of God made flesh. Dear God, I ask one more thing. Surely there will be people living after me who cannot figure out everything in their lives. Surely there will be people living after me who will struggle with things out of their control. Please help them, dear Father, as they cry out to you as I did. I believe, O Lord, but help my unbelief. Help them in faith to look into that Bethlehem manger and see your love for them made flesh. Help them see in that manger their Savior who loves them with an everlasting love. Oh God, please excuse me. I've got to run. I've got to go hold my dear Mary. I've got to go hold your son. My son. Boy, oh boy, I'm a daddy. In the name of Jesus, blessed Christmas to you, 2017. Amen.